Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. Last week we covered PM optimization, or review RCM, and how you can get more out of your existing maintenance program. In case you missed the episode, you can find it on iTunes or Stitcher, or online at hpreliability.com/RIR, or on the reliability.fm network. Over the course of this podcast, we're going to be covering the topic of the four pitfalls of using OEM recommendations for your maintenance strategy. So why shouldn't we use OEM recommendations for a maintenance strategy? Well, in many cases, OEMs are forced to make decisions and provide a preventative maintenance strategy for their equipment based on every possible use that equipment will see. They take the worst possible operating conditions, worst possible materials or liquid or slurry that the equipment will handle, and they have to design a preventative maintenance program for that that will allow them to maintain their warranty costs. Now, I don't know about you, but over-maintaining to me sometimes is worse than not maintaining at all. And if you follow OEM recommendations, sometimes you may end up with that. So the four pitfalls of following OEM recommendations for maintenance strategy are no knowledge of the operating complex. The strategy is typically not based on failure data. OEMs make a tremendous amount of money off the spare parts that they do sell to perform that preventative maintenance. And lastly, you don't know how that strategy was built. We're going to deep dive each one of these specific topics and understand when an OEM recommended strategy is used, when it shouldn't be used, and what you can do to make that more robust and more defined for your particular operation. So for the first pitfall, the operating context. What does that mean to us? Well, as mentioned, OEMs have to account for every possible operating context that their equipment will be subjected to. In addition, and as a result of that, the maintenance strategy is highly intensive and sometimes overdone. Now, some of the things to consider in operating context that the OEM may not have available to them is the OEMs don't have knowledge of the operator capabilities. Are these seasoned operators? Are these well-trained operators with lots of SOPs and procedures in place to ensure the equipment is run properly? The OEM has to consider that or anticipate that the operators will not be highly skilled or highly trained and will not run with SOPs. As a result, the equipment has to be over-maintained to address that lack of capabilities or skills. Similar to that is the OEMs are not aware of what kind of maintenance capabilities or maintenance maturity is available in that organization. Now, for maintenance capabilities, I'm referring to more of the technical skills that the millwrights, electricians, machinists, and so on and so forth will have. Is there a highly targeted training program to develop those skills with seasoned journeymen in place? Or is it a bunch of tradesmen that don't have that robust training program behind them? And in terms of maintenance maturity, are we able to detect failures, act on them? Do we carry the right parts? Are we measuring and monitoring, doing precision maintenance? Or is the organization running everything till it fails and repairing it then and there? Also, the OEM has to account for the operating environment itself. Is the equipment going to be operated indoor? Is it outdoor? Is it going to be subjected to very hot, dry conditions, or cool, damp conditions, or freezing? All that plays a critical role in the maintenance strategy. Also, depending where on the planet that equipment's going to be used, you might be subjected to severe UV damage as well. All that needs to be taken into account. And often, OEMs, they don't have that information when they develop their maintenance strategy, so they go to a very broad, intensive maintenance strategy. The OEMs also typically don't have knowledge of the operating context. The operating time. Will it run 24/7? Will it run 16/5, 8/5, so on and so forth? They don't have that information. Most of the time, though, the OEMs will have knowledge of what type of materials that will be used within that system within a certain bandwidth. It's something to consider as well, though, because the organizations may be running that piece of equipment with materials that it wasn't designed to or is on the threshold of its operating limits. Also, OEMs, they don't know if there's redundancy in the system. If you have redundancy in the system, that's dramatically going to change the maintenance drive that you want to perform on a piece of equipment. For example, if you have two pumps in parallel, both can handle the system demands on their own. Your maintenance strategies can be a lot less robust for one of those than is if you only had a single pump that maintained that whole process. Also, OEMs don't have knowledge of regulations in your specific area. There may be specific state or provincial regulations you need to take into account for your maintenance strategy. As a result, they typically don't have these built into their recommendations or their maintenance strategy. Without an understanding of the operating context, OEMs must make recommendations to cover all plausible situations. As a result, these PMs are often overdone. Now, these PMs are not overdone on purpose. They're meant to address all possible situations that the equipment will arise. And the OEMs are doing the best they can to cover that wide range of operating contexts that their equipment would be subjected to. Now, the second pitfall to using OEM recommendations is it's typically not based on failure data. The OEMs build the equipment, but they don't operate in most circumstances. OEMs may perform service from time to time and overhauls, but they certainly do not deal with the day-to-day issues that arise. And often that information is not transmitted back to the OEM. So their maintenance strategy is based on maybe parts bought and a combination of the service requests that they typically see right across a broad range of assets. But it's not addressing those day-to-day issues that we typically see in plants. Those small stops, you know, less than 30 seconds, maybe less than 2 minutes, they typically don't cover those. So without all that failure data, how do they establish the correct intervals for condition-based maintenance or time-based maintenance? Is it just based strictly on spare parts that they sell? Or do they have some sort of algorithm that allows us to do that? So where do OEMs get their intervals? Sometimes they're guessing at those intervals, and they're guessing at the prevalent failure modes, which is erred on the side of caution, because once again, they have to cover that wide range of operating contexts. As technology progresses, the access to that failure data is changing quickly. Many OEMs now have a direct link to their equipment, allowing them to monitor all aspects of performance of their equipment. This provides much of the needed failure data to develop a robust maintenance strategy and make informed decisions. But currently, it's limited to a select group of OEMs who actually get that data, analyze it, and use that to make an informed strategy for their equipment based on the operating context that it's in. Now, pitfall number three of using OEM recommendations is you have to take into consideration that the OEMs not only make money selling you equipment, they also make money off the spare parts they sell. Most OEMs do not develop a maintenance strategy focused on a lot of replacement parts as another revenue source. They don't. But they still do make some money off the spare parts. Sometimes it's more the initial cost of the equipment. Now, as such, OEMs tend to benefit from these intensive time-based replacement and overhaul PM approaches. Since the OEM recommendations are typically time-based and based on overhauls, many parts may be changed out while they're still good. Because once again, we're not looking at that failure data, and we have a time-based, not a condition-based maintenance approach.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Once again, I have to reiterate that OEMs are not misleading the maintenance strategy to recoup an additional revenue stream. They're trying to cover all possible situations and operating context. So they aim to cover the most demanding ones while also keeping their warranty costs down. So keeping this in mind, we may be changing out parts too often or parts we don't need to change out due to the OEM recommendations. One of the other things you might see, and this is where the OEMs tend to make a little bit more money off spare parts, is they don't provide the true part number to the part that you need to replace. They'll provide you their part number, but they won't provide you the native part number. For example, you may have a bearing in your piece of equipment that needs to be replaced. It could be a 6206 2RS bearing. Now, if you look in the OEM catalog, it won't give you that information. You won't know that information unless you tear it apart or you order the replacement part from the OEM and see that it is that bearing. Now, this is one thing that I typically don't like when OEMs do that. If it has a native part number, such as a bearing, provide us with that. It allows us to consolidate inventory, better manage our inventory, and so on and so forth. When I see OEMs not providing that native part number and using only those, you typically find that those parts have been marked up dramatically. Now, proprietary parts, that's understandable. Belts, bearings, motors, those sorts of things, native part numbers are an absolute must. As mentioned, you know, we only want to change out those spare parts when it's based on failure data and the failure characteristics or failure mechanisms that we anticipate. We don't want to change out parts just in case, you know. We use condition-based maintenance to determine when we're going to change those parts and act accordingly. OEM recommendations typically don't have that. Pitfall number four of using OEM recommendations is you don't know how that strategy was built. How were the recommendations determined? Were they based on failure data from the field? Were they based on a failure mode effect analysis? We're not sure. Was it developed using a reliability-centered maintenance approach? Was it developed using a design then a process FEMA? Having that information allows us to know what operating context the OEMs are providing for their recommendations and allows us to adjust and revise our approach to that equipment based on that information. In addition, if you don't know how that strategy was built, how can you be assured that all potential failure modes were addressed? You can't. You have to rely on them. In addition, how do you know if the potential failure modes that were identified can be prevented in a more cost-effective manner, such as implementing a redesign, improving an SOP, changing the design, and so on. Those activities truly allow us to design out the faults and failures and truly eliminate an issue for good. This is how we become more cost-effective in maintenance. Now, if the OEM can provide a failure modes effect analysis, it can be used as a basis for your review based on the operating context of your organization, and that is fantastic if they provide that. If you are provided that, there are a lot less pitfalls to using the OEM recommendations. Now, how can you overcome these four pitfalls? First, ask the OEM for a failure mode effect analysis or RCM analysis. Even if it is a design failure mode effect analysis, it can be used as a basis for review based on the operating context of your organization. You know, it's a good idea to include this in the purchase agreement for all new equipment, along with a few other items such as bill of materials, parts list, in the templates of your choosing for quick and easy upload into your CMMS. I've learned this the hard way many times. Now, if the OEM can't provide a failure mode effect analysis or RCM analysis, ask them how they determine the maintenance strategy and what operating context would be used. It may allow you to quickly modify that strategy to better suit your needs as well as theirs. Lastly, if you can't get the basis and understand of how that strategy was developed, conduct your own analysis based on the operating context of your organization. Do your due diligence and develop a strategy using an approved method such as failure mode effect analysis or RCM analysis. Once that's complete, provide the OEM with a copy of your analysis and your recommended maintenance strategy and see if it will satisfy their warranty requirements. You may be surprised at just what they say, and they may say that is perfectly acceptable for a maintenance strategy and it will meet their warranty requirements and it's more cost effective and targeted for you. Another way you can overcome these pitfalls is to take the OEM recommendations and subject them to a review RCM or PM optimization. Although it's not as detailed as a full-blown failure mode effect analysis or RCM analysis, it will allow you to ask the right questions to make sure that those recommendations make sense for your organization. By doing so, you may be able to reduce the amount of PMs and the amount of spare parts used while still maintaining or improving the reliability of that equipment. Now, I want to provide some cautions. If you do have to use OEM recommendations or you choose to modify them, there are a couple of things you need to keep in mind. If the equipment is brand new, you need to be sure that whatever you're doing meets the requirements for the warranty, unless you don't care about the warranty. If you are concerned about that warranty, you need to tolerate the OEM recommendations in most circumstances to keep that warranty in place. Also, if you do not have the resources or capability in place to conduct that PM optimization or PM review, you may have to use the OEM recommendations. Keep in mind, when you use that the maintenance program is an ongoing evolution. If you're not finding things, and typically the ratio is 6-1, if the PM is not uncovering an issue once out of every 6 times it's completed, we might need to evaluate the frequency or what it's looking at or if it's being done properly. So if you choose to use an OEM recommendation for a maintenance strategy, evaluate it on an ongoing basis. If you're interested on how to conduct that review and analysis and what to look for, be sure to check out the Rooted in Reliability episode on Review RCM or PM Optimization. This podcast is brought to you by High Performance Reliability. Need help in making a sustainable improvement in your maintenance reliability program? Look no further than High Performance Reliability. Our experienced staff is ready to help you improve plant performance and make a difference to your bottom line. Let High Performance Reliability provide you with a free 1-hour, no obligation consultation. Find out more at hpreliability.com or by emailing info@hpreliability.com. Once again, I just want to be clear. OEMs are not trying to take advantage of you, nor are they trying to provide maintenance strategies that are not valid. They just have to cover so much variation in operating context of their equipment. They need to be sure they cover all bases. They need to be sure their warranty costs aren't going to be astronomical based on that wide operating context. As a result, they have to put in a very broad maintenance strategy for their equipment. So in closing, the four pitfalls of using OEM recommendations are: the operating context is not taken into account. The OEMs do make quite a bit of money off the spare parts. Typically, the OEM recommendations is not based on failure data. And lastly, you don't know how that maintenance strategy was built. Before blindly accepting the OEM recommendations, subject them to a basic PM review or review RCM analysis to ensure they are fit for your organization. Just keep in mind any warranty and regulatory requirements. Also, you have the option of working with your OEM to validate their requirements and, if possible, adjust their warranty requirements based on your operating context. You may be surprised at what you find.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the Reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.